Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I would like us to do something maybe out of the normal today. I know the Holy Spirit has been putting this in my heart. I have notes here to share, but I want us to do something this morning which I think will just give God the praise, give God the honor. And it has to do with our 2024 declaration. I want you to pick some of these stanzas and apply it to your life. I want you, if you have a testimony this morning, come and give God the praise. Because, hello, I have one. I have one. I have one that has made me begin to respect God the more. Made me begin to allow God to work for me. Brethren, don't take this 2024 confession lightly. Do not take it lightly. When we come here every Sunday and we proclaim this, you think it's for nothing. It is not. Because I have a testimony about this that has blown my mind. God is doing wonderful things. God has not forgotten us. God has your back.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
God has your back.
Yes.
And it's so fitting that this morning I would like to share about David, one of my best characters in the Bible. Because through David, you will see somebody who had love for God, who believed in God, who surrendered everything for God. I would like us to first start and just proclaim this confession for this year. We have you on the overboard there, please, my sister. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you have it there, just come and tell us. You say, okay, you see, the fourth man will be with me in the fire. What has been your fire that the fourth man was with you this year? This is May. We are in May already. Very soon it will be June. It will be. Remember, we always have what we call a retrospect. We have to come and give an account. Take stock of what God has been doing compared to what he confessed. Praise the Lord. So now let's start 2-3. 2024, my year of God-class exploits and the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring, and in him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being, born of the seed of God himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's plan, and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stone to glory testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise a roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over these. Peace be still in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am under cover. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am under cover. the evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am undercover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant. I am undercover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am undercover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am undercover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places. And I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessing. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my father, and I am a joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken, and the limits are off. See, God has given me the cities, and the walls of Jericho are fallen. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, everything is possible. Kermit Bekondo, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely and your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river, like sweet-smelling aloes that the Lord himself planted, and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own buckets and have your own channels of rich blessings and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning a victory, and who dares disturb you? Blessed of the Lord is anyone who bless you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there's a song in Africa, mostly in Nigeria, Cameroon, they say, "This kind God I never see." You never see him. Another one no day. Means there is no other one. Praise the Lord. Like I said, I have a testimony this morning. You see, in the confession, it says 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. See, I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. Now, who will see to it? I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. There was one of the messages that the pastor was giving this year, and he said, there are times in your life where it's like everything in your house just breaks. Right? The washer, kaput. Right? The bulbs even, gone. Yep. Your garage door, gone. You know, your toilet start leaking. You sleep in the night, you only hear, pop, 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 pop. And we are in a state in the economy where these things are not cheap to repair. Yeah. They are not. You know, and I was like, oh God, you are talking to me. Because my garage door went. A garage door. I tried to fix it. I'm a man who likes to, you know, try first. I either make it worse and say, oh, no, let me bring the real people. You try, you fix and all that. The toilet, I don't know if those of you who know what the flange is in the toilet. Destroyed. The wax just went. Water started leaking from up and was falling down. I'm like, oh God, everything in this house is falling down. But I remember one day, I was in the garage. I had to. Now we are doing manual. We lift it up with the hand. Maybe that's why I have some muscles now. We lift it up and we put it down. So I was lifting up and I just said, no, enough. This is the end of this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The pastor said, take authority and say, no, enough. Amen. Amen. Tips for practical Christianity.
Yes.
It is alive. Our Christianity is like a VPN. I like to give referrals to a computer technology. A VPN is a virtual private network where you only get there when you have the key. When somebody gives you access to their VPN, that's the only way you can get in. It is protected. It's a tunnel. Nobody gets in. Nobody gets, you know. So I said, no, this, my life has to be a tunnel. Nobody comes into my life to disrupt God's purposes. The devil is snitching inside. But God has the final say. The final say. And so one day I was talking with one of my friends and he looked and we were doing this video call and he looked in my ceiling and said, Kemi, what's that with your house? I said, man, you don't know. It is bad, though. He said, no, just call your insurance and, you know, find out what's going on. I said, yeah, but I know insurance, they have coverage for certain things. I know this one is not one of them. Well, it doesn't hurt to try. And so I called the insurance, and the insurance lady said, Kermit, say, what's going on? I said, yeah, this is what's going on. I said, okay. Have you called the plumber? I said, no, I just said, let me find out if you cover it. He said, generally, we don't cover plumbing work. You have to look for a plumber. We have some plumbers we can give you, though. I said, okay, give me. They gave me a plumber, and I called, and they came. And the plumber man looked up and said, I have to cut here. It's going to be $270, I think. I said, what? Just to cut like this? He said, yeah. I can only know what is wrong if I cut. And before I cut, you got to pay. I looked at him and I said, and something just told me, allow him to cut. I said, go ahead, cut. Put it even $250. He said, no, I'll take it $250. Cut. He cut and they started looking. He said, oh, this is what's wrong. He started giving me. I said, what's the bill? He went in his car and was talking and he came by. He said, I just spoke with my boss. It is $2,100. I said, okay. I think I have to do some plumbing here myself. No way I can spend $21. He said, no, we are going to cut it. This is what we are going to do. We are going to remove all these things. I said, ha! I just said, well, you have done your own. Go now. And so I paid his money and he went. Like I said, 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. He says, I am finding favor in unexpected places. Unexpected. This lady called me and said, Kemi, hey, what's happening here? I said, well, they came and they told me it's 2,100. I said, okay. How about, because they sent two people. How about the other man? What did he do? This man, his own work is, he comes and he looks at the damage. After damage. See, because that water was falling on the on my floor. So it destroyed, you know, the tiles. That was the man's work. He came and he did everything. He put everything there. He sent it to them. And when they sent it to them, they gave. She called me and she said, I got that thing from the guy. But you know what? I want to give you something. I said, well, I was not expecting me anything. If after my deductible, I even have 1,000, is that not wonderful? Oh, Lord. I find favor in unexpected places. And I see the ram caught in a thicket. And I saw my ram caught in that thicket. This lady told me, we got something for you, Kermit. We are going to send it to you. Check your email. And I'm like, I did not even think about this. Where is this from? My brethren, I checked my email, and the money I saw there is money that will, you know, unexpected places. I say, I have a testimony. This is a testimony that you did not think of. All of a sudden, God has given me money that will take care of my garage door.
Amen.
It will take care of the washer. Amen. Take care of the plumbing work. Take care of even the floor. Hallelujah. You should not doubt God. Don't doubt God. Have faith in God. Believe in God. Now command the good things to happen to you. Don't go through life like, you know, anything can happen, I take. No. Don't take anything. Take the best. Don't settle for anything. Thank you, my sister. Don't settle for anything. Settle for the best. Because God has promised us good things this year. God has our back. We just have to walk in Him. Praise the Lord. That is why when I was getting ready for this message, and I said, David, the life of David. If you look at the life of David, you will see unexpected places. Favors in unexpected places. Favor in unexpected places. I would like us to start with, you know, when David was anointed king, what happened during that day? 1 Samuel 16. If we look at 1 Samuel 16, this is a young boy. He was just 17 years of age. You know, he was just 17 years of age. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, well, if you want to read all the story, you can read, but I'll just get some excerpts from there just to convey a message. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 6, it says, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Why? Because Eliab had all the physical traits, characteristics of a leader. He was tall, strong, muscular. And Samuel was a prophet. He knew better. But before he could listen to God, he had already made an assumption that this surely is a man. That was the man of God. Before he could even listen to God, he had already made an assumption that this guy should be the man. And God said, no. That's not how I operate. I have my own ways. That's not how I operate. And the Bible says, God told him, that's not the one. They brought Abinadab. He said, that's not the one. They brought Shammah. He said, that's not the one. All the seven sons he brought. But he had eight sons. This is where it gets interesting. He says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all in 11, verse 11, say, I hear all thy children, because surely God has sent me to this house. This cannot be all your children." And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he came hither." And he sent and brought him in. The Bible says, "Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to." I want that in the message. My sister, can you give me 1 Samuel chapter 16? Verse 12. In the message. Oh, it's not working? Oh. Can you see it there? You see? Okay. But what the message says was, he had physical health, pleasant health. It means when you looked at him, he was healthy. David was healthy. Longevity. And so God does not pick us to be in bad health. God does not want us to be in bad health. The pastor talked about it in one of the messages. He said, you have to know. God does not want you to be in bad health. It means you have to be aware of what you eat. You have to be aware of your habits. Anything that comes to give, that will trigger bad health, you have to be aware of it. Because God does not want you to be in bad health. David was in good health. You see, what God was not looking at the height, because God had looked at the height. You know, if you look at the, if you read the Bible about Saul, one of the characteristics of Saul was that he was shoulder taller than anybody in Israel. So he had brought, he was there. You know, when he entered the room, everybody would be like, yes, this is a man. And people were like, and he was from the tribe of Benjamin. If you read the books of Judges, you realize that the tribe of Benjamin were fearless warriors. They were fighters. They were not afraid of anyone. There was a time even where there were 26,000 who fought against 400,000 men. 26,000 Benjamites were fighting against 400,000 Israelites. And when they asked them, because something happened, and the children of Israel said, give us the men who did this thing, because such a thing should not be happen in Israel. The Benjamites said, we will not give them up. Come and fight us and see who wins. And the Bible says the first time they went, about 30,000 Israelites were killed by these 26,000 Benjamites. That some had skill. They could sling the sling. They could sling it like this, and it would hit the hair of your head. That's how skilled they were. Left-handed. So when Saul was standing taller there, everybody was like, the tribe of Benjamin, he checks it. He is tall, he is strong. And truly speaking, Saul was a very strong man. He was strong. And so Samuel was like, maybe this is the one, Eliab. And God said, no. It is David. This is a man with good health. This is the man who fears God. This is the man who has not only respect for his what has been given to him to keep. Remember, the brother told him when he went to the valley where they were fighting Goliath, the brother told him, to who have you left the few sheep that our father has? To who have you left it? So it was few, but to David, it was his life. Because it was that those few sheep that he used in his resume. Amen? It is those few sheep that he used in his resume. He says, whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Bible says when David was put before Saul, he used his experience that he had in the closet when nobody was looking. Hallelujah. When nobody was looking, David had exploits. Some people will ask, why did David pick 5 stone? I will tell you, because he knew by experience that sometimes 1 stone does not kill. Therefore, he told Saul, I said, I killed a lion that came to take the sheep. I killed that lion. I struck the lion once and took the sheep out of the mouth and gave that lion a second chance. When the lion came after me, I struck him again. And so he took that 5 stone. He was a man who learned from his experiences. He learned from his experiences. He knew that Goliath was there. He knew that at peradventure, 1 stone might not work, because from what I have seen. And so he prepared his back from his experiences. Do we learn from our experiences? Have you learned anything this year from your experiences, what you've gone through? You've gone through school for 4 years. Now, after 4 years, they want you to go and put what you've learned into practice. Right? You have some on-the-job training, true. But your on-the-job training will be effective if you put into practice that which you've learned through these 4 years. Every profession requires experience. Every profession requires training. Any profession that they tell you that lawyers, doctors, nurses, I know about nurses because I have a nurse in the house. It's, you see how Pastor Tini was saying last week that the mother who is a pediatrician, she was still doing her board exams. And Pastor Tini is still doing her board exams in order to become, in order to remain well relevant, in order to remain prepared, ready. When the time comes, you can use that experience and do what you're supposed to do. That's what David did. David used his experience to overcome that which was tormenting the Israelites. You can imagine a 17-year-old boy comes and tells you, I want to fight a giant who is about 9 feet tall. 9 feet should be like this ceiling. But he's 17 years old. Did you even inquire, whose son is this? Let's ask for permission from the father. In this confusion and shame, Saul said, what are we doing? What can we do? He says he wants to fight him. Let's allow him to fight. Let's let him fight. He doesn't know that God was the one pushing him. Say, your salvation has come here today. Your salvation has come. Now, we have been called to be the salvation of the world today. Don't think that you are the same like your neighbor who does not know Jesus. You are not. You have a purpose and a greater calling. Amen? They might have their interest. You have your own interest. Don't envy them. Don't want to be like them. Don't say, oh, they do this. I also want to do that. No, it should be the other way around. They should come and say, you are different. What's so special about you? You look so healthy. What is your secret? Nothing seems to bother you. You know? Nothing seems to bother you. You go to your children's maybe engagements. And you are just, there's something about you. There's some glow. And people are like, is he in the same world that we are? Does he really breathe the same oxygen we breathe? What's so special about him? That is how David was. There was something about David in such a way that even Jonathan, who was the future king, looked at David and recognized that this man, this young man, has the favor of God. Hallelujah. Has the favor of God. When you have the anointing of God, when you have that hand of God on you, people will see it and recognize it. Yes. The anointing of God does not hide. Amen? Amen? Look, when David was anointed king, there is nowhere in the Bible that said somebody when I was bragging that I saw David. He was anointed king. There is nowhere recorded in the Bible that his brothers went and said, look, my younger brother will be king one day. Is it in the Bible? No. There's nowhere. But the Bible tells us that people saw David and they knew that this man was the king of Israel, the true king. And that is the same reason why Saul wanted to kill him. Because Saul knew that this man had something about him. He did not have to say it. The anointing spoke for him. He was remembered in places where he was not supposed to speak up. People spoke for him. There was a time when Jonathan went and met the father and said, why do you want us to kill David? David was not there. So what has David done? Is this not David who delivered Israel from shame with Goliath? Why do you want to kill him? That was the anointing speaking. The anointing went ahead of him. And the Bible says, Saul promised Jonathan and said, okay, I'm not going to kill him. But you know, he did that thrice. And he attempted to kill David 21 times. Yeah, 21 times he attempted to kill David. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14, I understand we are having some technical issues, so you will not be, I have to read it here. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14, the Bible says, and from verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David. Hallelujah. Amen. Your enemies will be afraid of you.
Amen.
Your enemies will be afraid of you.
Amen.
You know, in somewhere in the confession, it says, no satanic plan against me, no divination against my household would ever prevail. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my household will ever prevail. And so therefore, Saul removed him from him. David was part of Saul's inner circle. But because Saul saw in him another power, another force, that the anointing working in David, Saul said, nah, this man should not be around me. And the Bible says he removed it. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Some verses say it was Saul made David captain. Not because David was a skilled leader or fighter. He made him captain because he wanted David to always be in the battle, and one day, peradventure, he will be killed. Can you imagine? Sometimes some promotions come, you got to ask God, is this really from God? Don't just accept anything that comes your way. Don't do it. Don't say, yay, God has opened the door. Because even Samuel looked at Eliab and said, this is surely the one. Before he got the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
They made him captain to kill him. To put him under pressure. To crush his spirit. You know? Maybe fighting is not something easy. A young boy of 17 years seeing blood all over the place, a captain, going to battle and seeing how people's head and everything, you know how it can be. This young man coming back traumatized, suffering from PTSD. You know? Let me crush this man. I'll put him where he will not be able to handle because he's still a young man. He does not know what he's doing. But the Bible says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. In all his ways. So he showed the temperament of a king because he was already anointed. He had that anointing characteristics. When you're anointed, you have favor that follows you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You have the necessary tools. You have abilities. And you have gifts. That is why Samuel anointed David, because the task ahead of David was a huge one. God knew that there was a task ahead of David. Let me anoint him in secret. The children of Judah were afraid. When Samuel said, I'm coming to your city, they said, ah, what is going on? The Bible says, the elders of that Bethlehem said, what is Samuel coming to do here? He came and anointed David. And it's wonderful how everybody kept it quiet. Everybody kept it quiet. There are some things you have to keep it within the house. VPN. Amen. Virtual private network. We need to have our spiritual VPNs. It's not everything you have to tell people. For a while, I was looking for a job. When I see this one, this is a job. Oh man, I think I'll get this job. I say, I just applied for a job. I'll just be passing my mouth here and there, telling colleagues I have a job I applied for. You know. Before you know it, all of a sudden they will just come, oh, Kermit, we are very sorry. You are a very good candidate, but we had somebody whom we think, you know, we went with. I say, okay, no problem. What is mine, it will come. Do you know that the Holy Spirit told me, hey, look, begin to create your VPN. It's not everything you have to tell people. Amen. Amen. You tell the people who are in that your VPN. And I applied for a job and I made sure I don't tell anybody except who. I came and told the pastor. I came and told Mommy Tinu. I told my wife. Those three people knew about this job. And you know very well that when you tell people like this, they will pray for you. Amen? Amen. They will not go back and say, that man will have a job. He will have, his salary will increase. Look at me. You know, before you know it, incantations all over the place. You don't know what's going on. You ask yourself what's going on. But I told them. And God just made, opened the way. And I was like, but why is this thing so easy? Why is this job just, this guy is calling and say, Kermit, this job is yours. If you want it, you get it. I'm like, what? This is the total different experience. When I created a VPN, a local network of people who love me, who have good intentions for me, who think good about me. When I created that one, I got the job. Praise the Lord. You want to start a business? Come up with your business plan. Create a virtual private network. Engage people you know will back you. They want you to succeed. They want you to prosper. When they see you and they see a smile on your face, they are happy. Amen. Amen. Create that virtual network. Even in your family, don't tell anybody. It's not everybody you tell your business. I am telling you, it's not everybody you tell your business. Somebody told me, gave me a test. I was talking with somebody last week and they said, I have my sister who came and visited and she was staying somewhere in her own sister's house. And this person called me, who is also a sister, and said, look, this one goes behind and talks bad about their own sister who lives in their house. A family member. And I'm like, what's going on here? You know, not everybody, even in your family, is part of your VPN. It's not everybody. It's not. David, no matter what, David was loved. And the people around him, the Bible says he surrounded himself with, if you look at his mighty men, his body, that's, we'll consider, what's his name again? Abishai. Abishai was the son of Zeruiah, who was David's sister. David surrounded himself with his sister's son. There were three of them. There was Joab, there was Abishai, and there was Asahel. The Bible says these three caused David trouble. But they could give their life up for David. There was a time when David went to war and he was fighting against a cousin of Goliath. He thought he was still the David of old, you know. The Bible says he went and this guy almost finished his life. And Abishai came and said, oh, shift here. This is not your fight. Abishai said, kill this giant of a man. And came and told him, David, we understand. You are the light of Israel. And anything happens to you, that light is off. Please, no more wars with you. Go home. This Zeruiah, these sons of Zeruiah, there was a time where David cried and said, oh, sons of Zeruiah, what am I going to do with you? Because these guys were, they did not want David to bring in their midst any other person. They went to Abner, they killed Abner. They went to Amasa. These are all generals which David wanted to incorporate in his army. But Joab said, no. These guys cannot be part of the VPN. They cannot be part of it. Because you never know. The betrayal that David has had, even his own son, Absalom, betrayed him. You remember? So this morning, I want us to know one thing. Our relationships that we build, we should be very careful.
Yes.
Some build us up. Mm-hmm. Some pull us down.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Some build us up. Some pull us down. And if you look at the life of David, all through his life, he was a man who loved people. He was a man who recognized the power of relationships. Because even after, the Bible says, after David knew that Saul was coming after him, there was a time when he told Jonathan, "Your father wants to kill me." Jonathan said, "No way." He said, "Look, I'll tell you one thing. Go to this party." There was a festival. I think it was Passover, one of those festivals. He said, "Go there. I will not come. If your father misses me, ask, where is David?" Eh? In a calm way. Okay? "Come back and tell me. Then I will know that your father means good. But if when I am not there and your father realizes that my seat is empty and he says, where is this son of Jesse?" And he becomes angry. Know that he wants my head. The Bible says, after 2 days, Saul asked Jonathan, "Where is David?" And Jonathan said, "Oh, David has gone to Bethlehem to celebrate the feast with his family." The Bible says Saul became so angry that he took the javelin in his hand and threw it at his son. That is when Jonathan said, "This man means business." And he went and told David. David said, "I knew. I told you, it's for you. This test was for you, not for me. Because in my heart, I already knew that this man wants to kill me. Now that you know that your father wants to kill me, do I have permission to go?" As a man who loved, who had relationships, he valued them. He told Jonathan, "See for yourself." And he went. And the Bible says he went and took his father and mother, family. He took his father and mother, knew that because of him they were in trouble, and he went and gave them to the Moabites. He said, "Look, in my wars, I have created a relationship with you. It's now time for you to show back your gratitude. Can you keep my parents for me, please? Because I am like this, I cannot stay in one place." And he began to roam all over the place. But the good thing is, when he was roaming all over the place, he was creating relationships. He was creating relationships. And if you look at what the Bible says, when David, before he became king of Israel, what happened? For those of you who are Bible scholars, who, if you remember why Saul was rejected as king. Remember the Amalekites? Yep. They told him to kill everybody, everything. He spared Agag, brought it to Samuel. Say, "Yep, the people made me do this." That was not what God asked you to do, Saul. God said, "Kill all of them." Because God was fulfilling a promise. How the Amalekites treated the children of Israel when they left Egypt. God said, "Kill all of them." He spared them. Spared Agag. And that's how he was rejected. But if you look at the second book of Samuel, chapter 1. "Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from slaughter of the Amalekites." Hallelujah. God's plan is like, it's like a parallel line. Okay? Saul was walking through that parallel line. He had things to fulfill. The one that he failed, it's like God had to wait. The Amalekites are still there. We cannot proceed until the Amalekites are gone. "David, you are king. Yes, you have been anointed king, but your time will come. I have the Amalekites. Somebody has to deal with them." And the Bible says, just from nowhere, the Amalekites came and took David's wives. Two wives, the kids, the sheep, everybody, and took them. Who sent them? I don't know. But, you know, there is a clock, a spiritual clock. When that clock is triggered, no matter what you do, you just have to follow it. And I believe that's what happened. Somebody went and, you know, stared this man. Go and go. Touch Egypt, David's wife. Take them away. You know? And then the men of Israel, they looked at David. They said, man, they almost killed David. They said, what? Our wives, everybody gone. What do we do? David said, hey, relax. I will not make the mistake that Saul did. Okay? Let me see what God has to say. Amen? He said, let me see what God has to say. What is God saying here? How can somebody just come and take my wives? What is God saying? And he called, I think it was Abiathar, who used to be the son of Ahimelech, the priest. He said, come with the effort. Come here. Bring it. Tell me, God, what should I do? And God said, go after them. Finish them. Do that which Saul was not able to do. The Bible says David went there, caught up with them, and he exterminated them. And the Bible says he recovered everything. Everything. They say in 1 Samuel 30, verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his wives. Everything. And after he recovered everything, Saul was dying in another battle. And so the Amalekites' timeline had come to an end. And God said, it's time now to proceed with something new. And that's when David now in 2 Samuel, that's when David was being ushered as a king of Israel, where he started in Hebron. And so he had to win. Obviously, the children of Judah will be behind him because he was from Judah. But if you read the story, you realize how Abner, you know, was still holding on to power. And after 2 years, he himself said, you know what, David, I have seen that God is with you. You are the real king of Israel. This man that I have here, this Saul's son, nah, he has nothing. There's nothing on him that talks God. So, brethren, this morning I want us to be mindful of our relationships. Amen. To be mindful of the people who allow into our milieu. Amen?
Amen.
The world has clubs. You know? All they say, if you win the PGA, they give you a green. That green initiation is a club. You know, not everybody gets into that. They have places where if you don't have that green suit on, they'll say, this is not your VPN. No. Go that way. You don't have any rights here. Go. The world has their own ways of tickets. Yes. Tickets in arenas. Is that not a VPN? If you don't have a ticket, can you get into that arena?
No.
Unless you're a thief. Right? Let's create our VPNs.
Amen.
We are children of God.
Yes.
Our priority is the children of God.
Amen.
Even Paul said it. You treat the children of God better. Amen.
Amen?
We should not. Don't think that. Don't despise your natural blood relations. No, it's your family. Okay, you are linked. Whether you like it, you are linked with them by blood. What I'm talking here is God's children who are linked by the blood of Jesus. Incorruptible blood of Jesus. That blood that knows no... You cannot replicate. You cannot clone. You cannot clone the blood of Jesus. This is the blood that we have. We should hold it fast. We should treat our brethren, you know. You look at a brother, don't just greet a brother here on a Sunday and fine. Take time to know them. You never know what they are going through. When you are praying, you begin to wonder, what can I pray for now? You know, don't overstress the Holy Spirit to be revealing things to you. You know, there are certain things that you can just come and you will know. Don't stress the Holy Spirit to be revealing things to you which you can know just there. You can meet a brother and the Holy Spirit in your spirit will ask him this question. You know, and you ask, how is work? How was it like this week? Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I had this tough thing at my work today or last week. There was this thing that happened. But, you know, I don't know. Indirectly telling you that, pray for me. And so when you are in your closet and you are praying, don't start and thanking. You know, some people in their prayer closet, they don't even know what to pray and they just start they start thanking God about the trees outside. You know, you thank God about the trees. It's good to thank God about the trees. But there are people God brought you who have prayer topics which God was just telling you, reach out to them. Ask. Just ask. How are you? How is the family? You don't know what the son is going through. Maybe they're having difficulties in school. Parent-teacher meeting conference was not the best because they told him, your son, the level where he is, I don't know what we can do. Just help, you know, help us help you or help him. And you share it there with this brother you know wants the best for you. Yes. Don't go and share it with somebody when you are gone. You say, I knew. Look at, how can the apple does not fall far from this tree. You know, I'm telling you, they begin to laugh and mock and say, look, yeah, he's all holy, he's all this, look at his son, look at the children. Yeah, they are not coming out, you know, no testimony. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Go to somebody when you share with you, say, yeah, no, this can only be satanic plans against us. And so it's time for us to say no divination. Hallelujah. That's how we see it. We don't see it as an apple that does not fall that far from the tree. No, we don't see it like that. We see it as a satanic plan that has some divinations that must be stopped. Hallelujah. Because when it's stopped, when you see me on, you see that brother or sister, the next time you say, guess what? He had A's. He's the best student in class now. Hallelujah. And then you begin to thank God together. Yes. Because that person means you well. Amen. That person means you well. Yes. So this morning, God requires us to be in good health. Amen. Because he has great things for us. Amen. And because he has great things for us, we should be mindful of the people we share our things with. Amen. Amen. Be mindful. Somebody tells you something, pray. I was talking with somebody yesterday. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago? And the person said, I asked, how about this person? He said, oh, this person had a blood clot. I'm like, and what moved me, we prayed for that person with my wife. And she was asking, who is this person? I said, no, it's one of my colleagues. They told me they had blood clot. But what blessed me was, when this person was telling me about this colleague, he said, I am telling you, Kemi, because I know you pray. Amen. Pray for him. Amen. Pray for him. Amen. And so this morning when we were praying with my wife, we prayed. Was it today or yesterday? This morning. Prayed for him. People will share with you because they know that you have an answer. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. They will share with you because they know that you have an answer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I hope we're blessed this morning.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand up, please.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So next week, Sunday, we have communion service, right? We'll be here next week, Sunday. Father, thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are encouraging us and stirring us towards your work, towards your life. You are giving us practical tips for effective Christianity, Lord. You are reminding us that what matters is our relationship with you and with the brethren, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you that we will take this at heart and begin to apply them in our lives. We'll begin to apply them in our lives, Lord. We'll mean well to our brethren. We'll mean well to our brethren. We'll pray for one another. You have urged us in your word to pray for one another. We will pray knowledge prayers for one another. Father, thank you. Be thou exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.